Hello, Faith Community Church. This is Richard Goff, and on behalf of the elders, I just want to welcome you to this brief discussion regarding the vaccine statement that the elders recently published. As we have been discussing the various concerns and questions that have come to us regarding vaccines and various mandates and directives that many of you are facing from your employers, and we've had numerous discussions among the elders and have thought through this matter and discussed this matter in our meetings. And we put together a statement that we hope will be clarifying and encouraging, and most importantly, will help us all to think biblically about the matters that we're facing regarding vaccines and mandates. But we thought as a supplement, it might be helpful for a few of us to get together and just kind of expand on what we put in the statement and maybe talk a little more broadly about the issues that are pertaining to the vaccine mandates. Hopefully this will be a helpful supplement to the statement. And of course, we always encourage you, if you have other questions or need additional guidance, you're welcome to contact us, get in touch with any of us. Any of the elders would be happy to serve you and try to help you think through these matters as we're trying to think through them from a biblical perspective. So this particular session was joined by Brian Irby and Pastor Shane Kohler and myself. We'd hope to have more of the elders together, but just the three of us were available at the time of the recording. So hopefully this discussion, again, as I said, will be a help to you, and looking forward to hopefully further discussion as we all walk through these days together as a church family. All right, so Brian and Shane were kind of just sitting around here trying to think through on behalf of the congregation, or talk through, I should say, on behalf of the congregation, some of the content of this statement on vaccines that we've put together. And, you know, I'm wondering what you guys think about the current state of things in general. I mean, if we could just start a little bit broadly, I know that each of us have had probably conversations with different people in the congregation and have read different articles and have had wrestled with this on our own in terms of the implications of this, the whole vaccine mandate and all of that, how it's affecting people from an employment standpoint. So maybe just generally, what's been your experience? What are some of your initial thoughts on this whole issue of vaccines and vaccine mandates and how it's affecting our congregation and that kind of thing?
Well, I think you have to start by recognizing that it is an incredibly tense environment right now in the nation, has been for the better part of a year, whether it is racial, social issues and political issues, and then this on top of it. And it's reflective, apparently, in polling data that the current administration is being, maybe a little, maybe naive in the amount of overreach that they have and the blowback that they're having. I mean, we see polling numbers and all that stuff sliding, and we, as just citizens and members of the state, we can get caught up in that. We can get just as emotionally invested in that, and they can begin to flavor our whole worldview. And we stop thinking all the time as Christians,
right?
And we start thinking as just political creatures, citizens, all the other things. Or another way to say that is, everyone's feeling frustrated right now. We often feel frustrated by some of the same kinds of things, but as Christians, we have to be governed by other realities.
Right. What's informing us to maybe qualify our indignation as righteous or more than likely unrighteous in most cases for us?
Yes. Or, we might even say it is legitimate and substantiated,
yeah,
but the way we respond to it,
yeah, that's right,
ought to be sanctified.
That's right. That's right. I mean, there's definitely plenty of things that I share the frustration. I think that being frustrated with some of the ways that people are being treated, that just entire categories of people are being maligned, it's really frustrating as an experience. But I think that's a good and insightful point to emphasize for all of us, that it's really how we respond to these things.
Yeah.
That's the key.
And we could sit here, and I think every one of us could spend 30, 45 minutes, an hour, just voicing our own frustrations.
Right.
That's really not what we're interested in right now at the immediate moment.
You know,
we want to talk about what's the sanctified response. But I think it's important to say up front that we're frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, like any other citizen, there's yep. lots of things that are going on right now that we don't like, as there are in any nation, with any administration, with any group of Christians, you know, but we're, you know, we just have to think carefully about, you know, how we're going to respond to all this, which leads us to our topic, which we hear a lot about around the church right now, is this gets into the real world for a lot of people, into their pocketbooks and their bank accounts,
right?
As they're having to wrestle through decisions at the workplace on how they respond to all this.
Yeah, Brian, any kind of introductory thoughts that you've been dealing with, or people conversations you've been having, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, well, one of the last things we taught through in the college group was 1 Peter, and it was funny because this is before a lot of this stuff really hit the ground, but it was you could almost foresee just culturally the nation as it's just tightening in on, I think, us as Christians, or even you could just say the conservative mindset. And we were just talking about how those believers were in a very hostile situation where material possessions and their homes and inheritance and things like that were being taken from them. They were being sent to other lands. And, you know, you had Peter the whole time telling them to be submissive, to sacrifice themselves as an example of submission and love to others, to even those who are being hostile towards them. And I remember telling the kids that, and I remember talking to the students about that. But I feel like where I sit right now is, you know, it's just become more and more tangible,
mm-hmm.
you know, as we see these things around us.
Yeah.
But that's just something that I just keep running back to, because like Shane says, I mean, when I read the news, you know, my fleshly inclination every time is to fight.
Yeah.
To be like, this is not American. This is not, it's unconstitutional. It's illegal. It's evil. I think you can say all those things. And then you go, but my first and foremost priority or allegiance is not to the United States of America, though I am that as a citizen, but it's to Jesus Christ. And
right.
that makes you stop and think and pray and go, what does the Word of God say?
So you're kind of hitting on something that I was thinking about. And we reference it here in this statement about where our real allegiances lie, and maybe even a little bit of another way to look at that. To whom are we truly accountable? Who are we really accountable for? And you know, we basically start the statement by just making this about the local church. And so I just want to kind of emphasize that as I think about this, for me personally, cannot turn into a polemic debate with other churches or other pastors or whatever about their position on this or that as it relates to these things. I think it's important for us to just reiterate the fact that we have a responsibility as elders of this particular local congregation to shepherd this particular flock, and to do it faithfully and from the scriptures. And so that's our focus. And so that's our intent. That's our aim. And we certainly don't want to get pulled into, you know, arguments with other pastors or whatever that might be taking a little bit of a different position or whatever. I've seen a few different statements from other churches, and it doesn't look exactly like ours.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to our congregation, this is really the point of emphasis, is that we're not trying to kind of call the consensus of conservative evangelical pastors to figure out where we're going to land.
Yeah, you've got political divides going on in the country right now between, you know, different parties or different wings, different factions or something that represent large swaths of people, but not all of them by any stretch are Christians. They're driven by materialistic, worldly, fleshly concerns, and sometimes our interest will intersect with them. But I believe moving forward, increasingly, we will find ourselves alienated and ostracized from all sides.
Yeah.
And we're going to find ourselves where we're, showing up on church on Sunday, having a sense like this is my world, this is my family, this is where it makes sense. But none of what goes on here on Sunday connects to what's going on out there. Not saying that church is irrelevant, but just saying the worldview that we have and the things that drive us are going to be criticized from all sides.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a little bit of the current mob mentality that's going on right now. The mob will create a sense of virtue based on their own self-perception of what they think's virtuous, and then they will judge you based on that.
That's right.
And if it happens to be a nationalistic or conservative approach to something, or if it happens to be a progressive, socialist approach to something, or whatever side it's on, those are just simply mob definitions.
Yep.
And they will be used to persecute whoever's not going along with the mob at that particular time.
Right. So we start kind of our discussion, really, or I guess I should say our statement, with a reference to the providence of God in providing a whole range of medical treatments and medications and surgical procedures. I mean, we're living in an age that is just so vastly different than past generations when it comes to medical science advances and that kind of thing. And I think it's important for us to state that we're grateful that the Lord has provided these things for us, and we rejoice in that. But Shane, maybe you could talk a little bit about sometimes I think that this, and we'll get into this whole issue of matters of conscience and the biblical texts that are most prominently discussing that in Scripture. But when you get into this matter of vaccines, it's almost like sometimes the what you read or what you hear is that there's a dividing line between a Christian view and a non-Christian view about this. It's almost like it's a strange dividing line. And, if you are conservative, right-wing Christian, then you must be anti-vax kind of thing. I mean, yeah. I know that that's probably in the swirl of sort of the secular narrative around this stuff, yep. But still, I think that we get sucked into that a little bit in our thinking.
Well, yes, we can, and it's misunderstood sometimes even by Christians. It kind of dates back to the fundamentalist movement in the 1915-1920 era, where there was a shift that Christians even felt in the world of science away from that sort of Baconian sort of, trial and, hypothesis and test with controls and all that, to consensus. Rather than just sort of this regimented experimental scheme that had driven modern society up to that point, we moved more to a consensus model where what's considered scientific is what you can get enough scientists to agree to rather than what you can prove in a laboratory. And at the same time, you had the Darwinian revolution sort of going on and Christians rejecting that. And so they started sort of getting labeled as being anti-science because they were rejecting Darwinism and they were rejecting, the consensus model of science. And some of them actually embraced that and imbibed that and actually began to speak, almost like boastfully about that and forgot the fact that, we're not actually anti-science. We're anti maybe some of the modern versions of science.
Right.
But we still are very grateful for truth. And if it's validated through scientific experiment and all those other things and everything that comes out of that, we are still very grateful for all of those things, and we promote and we celebrate all those things, and we think they actually validate truths of the Scripture, everything from creation, to the fact that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and the way that God has, called and gifted people in the medical field. All those things we celebrate, And we ought to still be out boldly sort of championing those things. But we also have to realize that we are in a world where the definition of science has been muddied.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be able to be articulate enough to say, yes, we know what we are for and what we're against. We're very much for the hard sciences that are just simply exploring and in some cases, in the Genesis 1 model, subduing the creation of God. But we also are aware that we're in a context with a lot of unbelieving, God-rejecting scientists who are going to take data and twist it against God, against his people, and in self-interest, their own financial interest, their own career, their own sort of status. They're going to use that data to prop up all of those things. And, we're not crazy for being frustrated with that, but we have to be clear that what we are is not anti-science. Yeah. We're not anti-vaccine. We're not anti-medicine.
You mentioned the whole consensus version or the consensus mode of science, science by consensus. Another consensus driver, often in erroneous directions, is social media. I know, Brian, you probably have had to contend with that to some reasonable degree in some of the shepherding that you've done, particularly with college and high school students. But this is one of those areas where, in terms of the vaccine, anti-vaccine kind of mindset, they're driven by media and the information that they read. And it's almost as though people feel like that they've gotten some hold of what is actually objectively or transcendently true simply because they got their hands on a few pieces of good information that they thought was compelling in an article or, a tweet or a post or whatever. And that becomes, for them, the position that we're supposed to have. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, it's kind of the whole consensus thing. It's like, I just feel like once one person says something on social media, then everyone either chirps in with they're agreeing to it, which just reinforces that if that's what you believe is true, it is true, and everyone believes that. But that's happening on both sides. And again, I just think, that's why it's so important for us to, I mean, I'm not on social media and honestly don't have a lot of conversations with the college students about what's being said on social media. So it's not something I'm answering questions all the time. But that was one of the reasons I got off social media a long time ago was just, I mean, and this is years before a lot of this stuff started going, but it was just a place where, people shout out their expertise and a lot of times have no idea what they're talking about, but this is an opinion they have. And, right. And so I don't know, again, I just think it's so important to daily be grounded in truth of the word of God so that you are able to discern, when even if it's a Christian voice, whether it actually does submit to what he says in his word and what aligns with what God says, or whether it's just an opinion that someone has that they're shouting as if they're an expert,
You mentioned being able to discern something, right? Is true or not true. And I think that that's where a lot of this lies. It lies in the realm of the matters of discernment and matters of stewardship for us as believers. When it comes to what God has provided or what is being propagated as truth, what God has providentially provided. I mean, we have to be discerners of what is true sometimes where we're not dealing with some type of explicit, prohibition or command in Scripture. We're having to take biblical principles and discern what God would be leading us to do in terms of application of these things or discerning what the right decision might be for us. And I think that's where we lie when it comes to this issue of vaccines, vaccine mandates, what to do if your employer is mandating vaccines or traveling, whatever the application point is. It becomes a matter of evaluating what good stewardship is for you and your health and these other things, in light of what God has provided or put before you providentially, and also being a discerner of wisdom and truth and the application of truth. So Shane, talk a little bit about that in light of, particularly in light of some of these key passages, Romans 14, 1 Corinthians chapters 8 through 10, that deal with this issue of matters of conscience, that really spell out the fact that not everybody's conscience compels them in the same direction. And therefore, it puts on us responsibilities in the life of the church to respond in certain ways.
Yeah, you have two issues going on in those two passages. You have issues of conscience, and you also have issues of maturity. Mm. There are some issues that the Apostle Paul says may be theologically clear to the more mature and theologically less clear to the less mature. And so it's not even a matter of whether you can work through something clearly in your own mind. It's also a matter of love, working with others who maybe have not reached the point of clarity that you have.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be things that are super clear. They ought to be super, super clear to us, the deity, resurrection of Christ, things like that. But then in issues of, you know, whether or not, you know, there is enough data behind a vaccine, you know, to say that it's safe, is incredibly difficult in this environment for us to, you know, be able to wrap our heads around. Some people will get there and they'll be very comfortable. Some people will be, you know, even comfortable with less data and just trusting in the sovereignty of God. And then there's going to be some who aren't. And the principle that drives through both of those passages is just love, just patience with one another, understanding, respectability. And this is where I get concerned for us as a church, because that is not what you find in the world. You do not find patience and love and respectability between people on different sides of this issue in the world. And so if we get out into the world and we get, we become a part of one of these two crowds or mobs and we start shouting, you know, at the other side, we may very well have to walk into church the next Sunday and sit next to somebody who would have been on the other side of that shouting match. And here they are, a brother in Christ, and we're supposed to be patient with them. In other words, as it's working itself out in the church, this isn't a Christian and non-Christian issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is an issue where Christians are choosing different pathways, and we're called to treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ with the love of Christ and with patience and with all of those things. And work out in our own conscience, you know, how we're gonna conduct our own lives, but also be sensitive for other people to work that out in their own conscience.
You know, the application of those principles, I think, is prominently illustrated, and even in the leadership in our church, because we have people who have made different decisions mm-hmm. on the elder board. At least at the present time, and those decisions may change in time about whether to take the vaccine or not take the vaccine. And so before this was even a discussion about, do we need to write a statement for the congregation, before it even reached any kind of maybe a fever pitch with some of the mandate policies that have come online and are really forcing this into people's worlds much more prominently.
I think people would be surprised to know that there was a period of several months where we had elders wearing masks to the elder meeting and others, elders not wearing masks, and it never became an issue. It
wasn't even a topic of discussion.
Yeah, it did. I mean, didn't even really hardly cross anyone's mind.
Yeah,
because the men in the room were very focused on the gospel and respectful of what others were choosing to do and just didn't think about it.
That's honestly. Right. That's right. And I think it's really important to emphasize the principle of love that you mentioned and deference toward one another. And I think I would also want to make sure that there's not a misunderstanding of what you're saying. I know exactly what you're referring to in terms of the maturity issue. But that to me is the truth that applies to all of us, because we're all maturing, right? And there are some things and sometimes maturity or immaturity, could be sort of characterized by, you know, you just don't know what you don't know yet. You haven't learned, you haven't been exposed, you haven't experienced certain things. So the maturity, immaturity issue as it relates to vaccines, I certainly wouldn't want anyone to misunderstand that, well, the mature, Shane must have meant by mature, you're taking this position mm-hmm. versus immature, this position. I mean, that's an easy, I think, thing to, again, we're so inclined to want to draw lines, or maybe just I'm the one that's so inclined to draw yeah, lines. It's just me. But the fact of the matter is that we're all immature in certain areas and at certain times. There's a lack of, you know, full understanding of certain things or theological maturity in certain areas. We just have blind spots. We haven't studied the issue. We haven't thought through it. You know, it needs to be understood, I think, on that kind of spectrum.
Yeah, I think you could say it this way. You know, you could take a stance that the data is so diverse and so sort of early at this stage that the efficacy and the wisdom of the vaccines is unknowable.
Mm-hmm.
That could be your position. Or your position could be, no, there's enough data that you can know. In the first position, then you really cannot take a strong stance on if someone decides to take the vaccine or not, because, you know, you're admitting that you don't even know if it's going to be bad right. for them or good for them or whatever. You're just saying the data is unknowable. In the second, even if you're saying the vaccine is a known commodity and we know exactly what it does and we know its ill side effects, even in that instance, the Bible still calls you to be gracious and patient and loving with your neighbor. So in both instances, we're called to have a respectful, loving, deferential sort of communion with one another in the body of Christ. And that's what has to dominate our thoughts. Mm. Now, you know, the reality is that's all sort of Pollyanna, you know, wonderful clouds in the sky until your employer says,
right,
you're not going to get paid, you know, as of next month unless you do this. And then, you know, it's not even just a matter of do I respect and allow my fellow Christian to do this. Now you're suddenly forced with the question of what am I going to do?
Right.
You know, how am I going to navigate through that? And it's not a matter of in that interpersonal relationship, but internally, I think you've got to wrestle with what the end of Romans 14 says, that if anyone doesn't do something by faith, it is sin.
Right.
And so you've got to grapple with conscience issues at that point, which is where a lot of people are.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to, like you said, it's one thing to have these kind of discussions. It's another thing to be faced with this decision. And I don't know, Brian, I mean, is it more godly to make sure you're wise and diligent about providing for your family, or to take a stand against your employer who's making you take a vaccine? You've got a minute and a half to give everyone the right answer on that question.
Take a stand. I'm just kidding. Well, no, I mean, but yeah, that's a legitimate thing. I mean, for me, it seems simple. If I was placed in that position from where I stand now, but I'm not in that position.
Yeah.
But I mean, it just seems like, well, then just take the vaccine and provide for your family. But then, you know, like we were saying earlier, the other side of that is, well, won't God provide, you know, if you stand on your conviction at this point? And so, right. I mean, that's a legitimate thing to say.
It seems to me like you've got to make a choice one way or the other.
Yeah.
Either God is sovereign and powerful enough to protect you against ill side effects of the vaccine, or he's sovereign and powerful enough to provide you if you walk away from the job because you don't want to take the vaccine, but you're not going to escape one side or the other having to trust the Lord with the outcome of a decision that you're going to have to make.
Well, I think that's every decision we make in life. I mean, that's where faith is built. And in whatever decision it is, I mean, every time we're faced with wanting to do something that we feel like would be beneficial for us, but then we're faced with scripture that says different, or, you know, we have to go against what we believe, what we ourselves understand, and trust in what he says. And in some way you're going to end up.
And I think a lot of it's the angst of people just feeling a sense of injustice in this whole thing.
I think that's it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the distrust.
I get that. I
mean, that's where you got to back up to Romans 13 and trust that God has sovereignly.
I'm not prepared to talk about Romans 13. What does that say?
God has sovereignly established these governing authorities, And they do work themselves out, but unfortunately, they don't work themselves out on our time frame sometimes. So, yes, we might have to go through seasons where there are greater injustices and frustrations that we have to endure while the pendulum swings, you know, back and forth in governing authorities, and trust that God's in control of all that.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you could back the lens, you could zoom the lens out way further and say, the Lord has numbered my days. I mean, you could even start talking about like the span of your life and who's in control of it. You know, so I think that this whole discussion or this whole debate, particularly since it relates to matters of health care, it could draw us into a way of thinking that makes us feel like we're in greater control over our very life and existence than we actually are too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to throw this in here. I mean, this is not at all taking aim at people who are feeling incredibly frustrated right now. They're frustrated with their corporations, they're frustrated with their job, they're frustrated with their bosses, probably at a level they have not felt, you know, maybe their whole career or in a long time.
It's been grueling for people.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Grueling
and
for people.
And we are not, I'm not saying that you know, anyone is, you know, unjustified in feeling that way.
Right.
So in kind of saying, oh, just trust God, that's not a dismissive kind of a comment for people who are just in very, very tough spots. But it is the theological reality that has to be the gravitational pull of our life.
Right.
And so on one hand, we're saying we're incredibly frustrated with sometimes what's going on in our country right now. But the way that we navigate through those frustrations without letting anxiety absolute take over our family and our life and everything is to ground ourselves back in that truth of who God is.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's important for everyone to know that we're kind of walking through this with everyone. It's not like we've gone into some kind of ivory tower and sorted all this out ourselves and we've just got it all figured out from here. I mean, as we're having, at least for me, as I'm having these different conversations with people, I mean, it's forcing me to think carefully through some things, and to the conversations themselves are helping me to think through it. The challenges that I'm, you know, hearing of other people walking through with their employers is forcing upon me, you know, the need to really wrestle with, you know, well, what does Romans 14 look like here? So yeah, I think that it's important to know that we certainly would not want anyone to think we're kind of ivory towering this whole discussion. So
I think that, you know, just thinking about the sovereignty of God, the place of God, I mean, that's where Peter, right? Isn't that where he takes the readers of that, thinking about Christ and what he went through?
And how he entrusted himself to his Father and willingly submitted himself to both the unjust judgment of mankind and the wrath of his own Father being poured out on him, but knowing that his Father only does what is right and good.
So maybe if we could sort of try to sum this up in succinct biblical terms, I think it's an accurate statement to summarize what we've said in this elder statement on vaccines, that as elders of Faith Community Church, we could heartily support a decision to get a vaccine, and we could heartily support a decision to not get a vaccine. So what are the salient biblical principles that need to be governing all of us if that is in fact, because that leaves the door open for either option. There's no decision one way or another. You've alluded to some of it already, but let's zero this down to a tight focus. Vaccine, no vaccine, both positions can be supported from a biblically informed perspective. Uh-huh. But what's our ultimate takeaway as believers in the life of the church right now?
Well, I think it is, you know, at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul says, whether I eat or drink, I'll do all to the glory of God. You've got to commit your decision to God and to his glory, which means that you're magnifying, you know, his hand in whatever decision you make. And you should make it in that kind of confidence. And I could very well see myself being in a corporate environment and deciding, you know, I just, for whatever reason, feel like, you know, putting a vaccine in my body that I don't feel comfortable with yet is not a wise decision. And so I'm going to turn in my resignation and look for some other place of work. But I'm doing it trusting the Lord and confident and optimistic that he's going to, you know, open the doors for me and all those other things. I'm not doing it, you know, going out sort of hurling epithets at people and, you know, just like denigrating my testimony as I'm going out the door. I'm doing it with a sort of a triumphant sense of God's care over me as I'm talking to my supervisor or my other employees or something like that. I would want to glorify God in that decision. Same thing's true if I took the vaccine. You know, I would want to be able to sit down with whoever I'm talking to and say, I would rather not do this. I wouldn't do this of my own choice. But, you know, I feel like at this point, God's able to take care of me, and I'm going to rest, you know, safely in that. And if this is the way that he decides to bring trial in my life, I'll rest in that. So we've, that's the salient point. You just have to be God focused on that. And when you do that, I think it does help you put things in context and calm down a little bit and not be so caught up in the anxieties of the day.
Well, and love. I mean, I think 1 Corinthians, that's, you know, what all this heads to. I mean, even all of the things that he's talking to that church about are centered in their own self-interest and opinions and things like that, whether it's, you know, lawsuits or in this case, you know, whether to eat meat sacrificed to idols and all that and the spiritual gifts. But then he says you should be shooting for something so much greater, which is love. Mm-hmm. And I mean, so whether you take the vaccine or don't take the vaccine, whatever stance you take out of deference and submission and a love for others in the way that Christ loved us. I think that's how you have to go about it. You know, you do what your conscience feels is right in faith. So take it or don't take it. But either way, you must love those who are going to differ in their opinion of you and be willing to honor them and love them and respect them, because that's what Christ does for us. And that's what love is, you know? So I think that's got to be central in whatever side you land on.
So an eternal perspective, the glory of God, and then there's gospel opportunity in all of this.
Yeah.
There is gospel opportunity in all of this, and may God protect us from squandering those opportunities. Very unique opportunities, in fact. So yeah. I think about James and his statement about us considering it all joy when we face trials. There's opportunities for spiritual growth and all this, unlike many other circumstances we found ourselves in that hopefully the Lord will help us to capitalize on as well and grow in. So, well, guys, thanks for the discussion. Hopefully this is helpful to our congregation as we seek to walk through all these matters together faithfully.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.